Returning to Psalm 139, Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And you will know instantly from what we have just read there in Psalm 139 in the verse 3. You'll know if you were here on Monday night that we took the word compass or compassist as it is here. And it is circles. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And on Monday night we were talking about the circles in the Bible, and we talked about the circles of our difficulties. We identified in Psalm 17 and 9 those foes or enemies that were circling around us and oppressing us. We thought about the circle as well of our foulness in Psalm 49 and 5, where we're told there about the iniquity of our heels that shall compass us about. And then in Hebrews 5, the verse 1 and the verse 2, we have the thought of the circle of our frailties. The high priest is compassed about with infirmity. And that, of course, can be a very debilitating thing if we are caught up and circled by infirmity. Of course, some of the saints of God in past times have said, you know what, the days of infirmity gave me a more choice yield than the days of plenty and the days where everything was going smooth in my life. Spurgeon told an old story that he dragged up out of the Greek annals about a soldier who served under Antigonus. And that soldier was the victim of an extremely painful and serious disease, and the disease was pulling him down into the grave. But that soldier, knowing he had this disease, he was always the first in the charge. He rushed into the hottest part of the battle. He was the bravest of the brave. He acted with a total disregard for his life because his pain prompted him to fight in such a way that he was unafraid of death and wanted, as he rushed forward into battle, to forget the pain. He realized, I haven't long to live, and I might as well lead the soldiers out here with bravery and courage. Now, Antigonus, who admired the valor and outstanding bravery that this man was putting on display, he found out, this soldier of yours has a very serious disease raging in his body. And he arranged for the soldier to go and visit one of the most eminent doctors of the day. And lo and behold, the man received a cure. But from that moment on, the mighty, courageous warrior absented himself from the front line of the battle, looked for ease, wanted to be away down the ranks, put me into base camp, if you please, because now he realized, I have something worth living for. I have got health, I've got a home, I've got a family, I've other comforts. And so he was no longer willing to take the wild risks that he had done in the past. And sometimes when trial is upon us, we can do what Peter says, we can add to our faith in that trial, and all of the graces are fully and wonderfully developed. And then in the days of plenty again, when the circle opens, we can so quickly forget about God and lose our enthusiasm and our energy. So the circles of our difficulties, foes, foulness, frailty. Another set of circles, the circles of our delights. We thought about difficulties, let's be positive. The circles of our delights. And here in Psalm 139, verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. We have the circle here of the perception or the knowledge of God. The perception of God. And this is an awesome thought. It was to the psalmist to think that God compassed all his ways, knew about his lying down, was acquainted with everything about him, could plot his path. That means no matter where we go, the Most High God sees us and has perfect knowledge about us. There's nothing that we know about ourselves that he does not know. There is nothing hidden from his eye, nothing concealed from God's gaze. And that is an awesome thought, and let's explore it further by saying there are many things we don't know about ourselves, but God does know, because he knows everything about us. Hagar is out in the desert land, and she has fled from the face of Sarum out into that wilderness, but the angel of the Lord comes to her, and that prompts this cry and this word to be recorded in Genesis 16 and 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, "Thy God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Go out into the desert, into the wilderness, where no other eye sees you. God's eye is still upon you. Nobody cares for me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody sees me in my difficulty. The Lord sees everything. So Hagar sees you. What about the time that he came to Nathanael? In John 1 and 48, Nathanael says, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee," this isn't my introduction day to you, "before he called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nicodemus, or rather Nathanael, didn't realize he was being spotted that day under the fig tree. Didn't know any eye was upon him, far less that of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But here our Lord is testifying, "This isn't the first time I've been watching you. When you were away under the fig tree, thinking nobody saw you, deep in your own thoughts, full of meditation, my eye was upon you." So whether we're out in the waste-toiling wilderness and we're scorched and distressed on account of our sin, or whether we're taking refuge from the heat of the day under our fig tree, God's eye is upon us. It can be an alarming thought. It's an awesome thought. And yet it's an assuring thought. One has said, our too crowded business path, our monotonous domestic path, our cypressed path to the loved one's tomb, our laughter-ringing path, our path of weeping, our every path is circled with the love and sympathy and power of God. Amid the trials that I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet: thou thinkest, Lord, of me. His knowledge stretches round us like a circle, the circle of his perception. But then in Psalm 5 and verse 12, we read of the circle of God's provision. Not only does he see us, he supplies us. Psalm 5 and 12, "For thy Lord will bless the righteous, with favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield." The old Roman shield, not invented by this stage in Psalm 5, would have gone around the warrior. God's shield goes round his people. He knows our needs, and we can be assured he will supply those needs. This is a wide text, a broad promise. In Psalm 5 and in the verse 12, "Thou wilt compass him as with a shield." Notice God does this for the righteous. And that righteousness places us right in a position of responsibility before him. He is doing it for the righteous, compassing him as with a shield. And so that man or woman who accepts the atoning sacrifice of Calvary, who determines, I am going, as I live in Christ's righteousness, to live a life of righteousness before God, he is compassed around as with a shield. God's provision, God's perception. And then the circle in Psalm 32 and 7, we go for this one, the circle of the preservation by God. The preservation by God. In Psalm 32 and 7, we read these words, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Compass me about with songs of deliverance, the circle of the preservation by God. He keeps us in safety. We already referred on Monday night to Martin Luther, that most famous piece of poetry, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he's talking about the devil's assaults coming against all of his children. But Luther is correct to continue when he says, we're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is he, Lord Sabaoth, is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And thank God, the Lord of hosts does win the battle. See, the devil can come and attack me. He can assail me. He can accuse me. As often and as vociferously as he pleases. But he will never succeed in dragging me back to that wretched state I was in before salvation. He will never have me again a slave to sin, a captive to corruption, under the dominion of the devil and hell, and a prime target for the all-consuming wrath of a just and an offended God. I'll slip, I'll slide, I'll fall. But as the prophet said, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I still sin. But sin will not have dominion over me. It will not control me. It will not damn me. It will be that temporary lapse rather than the settled habit of my life. Jesus, my Lord. My mighty Savior will see to that. He preserves me. And there I am, undeserving, but right in the center of his circle of divine and omnipotent preservation. And that's the safest spot on earth or in eternity to be. The circles of our delights. God's perception, God's provision, God's preservation. Let's pray.